This little song we, me and my wife heard on this tape of our Joyce Myers tape, and the song was at the end of it. It's pretty simple. I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. I've got a feeling that everything's gonna be all right. I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Be all right, be all right, be all right. God said to me, everything's gonna be all right. God said to me, everything's gonna be all right. God said to me, everything's gonna be all right. Be all right, be all right, be all right. The Bible says to me, everything's gonna be all right. The Bible says to me, everything's gonna be all right. The Bible says to me, everything's gonna be all right. Be all right, be all right, be all right.
I'll hold it if you want to talk. Jackson's sharing his picture. You talk and I'll hold it here for you.
Jesus saw a little town that didn't have any food, so he planted some trees that they could eat from. But this one the devil tried planting, but it grew bad stuff to eat.
I would like to honor my Heavenly Father and my earthly father by saying that he used to say to me that there are no ugly people, that everyone is created in the image of God. And you have no reason to feel insecure because of that.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, Tom's going to read something. But even when Nate does come, okay, even when Nate does come up, Nate loves to be interrupted. He loves for people to come and join his group. He loves for you to come and stop him because you want to sing or say. So just don't worry about that. We still have total open freedom for you to come anytime you want to, okay? Who's next? Tom.
We get this little magazine from the Voice of the Martyrs. I'll just read a portion, and of course anybody who wants to afterward can read the whole story. I'll keep the magazine here. It's called Rock Solid Faith in Uzbekistan. John Dos wanted to start a church in Uzbekistan. This is not an easy task in a country where church leaders are regularly imprisoned for conducting worship services. Churches in Uzbekistan are routinely shut down, and even participating in religious activities can result in a fine of more than 80 times your monthly income. And yet in 2006, after the Ministry of Justice canceled his church's state registration, John Dos started his own ministry. John Dos set out to plant a new church in a Tashkent suburb. As a kickoff event for the new church, he and his team rented a small restaurant for an Easter celebration in April 2006. They invited both believers and non-believers, and about 100 people attended the event. As the celebration began, uniformed police and plainclothes officers surrounded the group. The officials interrogated everyone, and John Dos and two assistants were taken to the police station and interrogated until midnight. They charged John Dos with conducting missionary work and celebrating Easter without a permit, even though he had previously informed authorities about the celebration. Despite continual harassment by the police, John Dos's infant church kept growing as people came to his house to ask about Christ. 2 years later, a member of the local religious council accused John Dos of gathering people at home and teaching religious doctrines. On June 14, 2008, police raided his home during a religious meeting and held everyone, including women and children, from morning until evening. They confiscated Christian literature, personal notes, videotapes, and computer software. Finally, they took the group to the police station, where everyone except a church member named Imurat was later released. Imurat was charged under two articles of Uzbekistan's criminal code: teaching religious doctrines and participating in a fundamentalist religious organization. He was severely beaten while awaiting trial in prison. His interrogators wanted him to incriminate Jandos and provide information on other religious leaders, but mostly they wanted him to reject his faith in Christ. At the trial, which lasted about 6 weeks, Imurat finally testified on his own behalf. "Honored court," he said, "I listened to the testimonies of all the witnesses on this case, and not one of them testified to anything about a crime based on charges against me: teaching religious doctrines, an organization, or participation in a fundamentalist religious organization. I never persuaded anyone to believe or not to believe in Jesus Christ. That is a personal matter of each individual person. My whole guilt is that I believe and will continue to believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, and I will never conceal from anyone what I believe in. This faith helped me change for the better, and my father and my brother are witnesses to this, as they know what I was like before I believed. My only request to the court, which the Almighty God I believe in gave the power to judge people on this earth, is to make a fair decision on my case. I believe that justice will triumph. God bless you." The prosecutor had asked for a 13-year prison sentence in a maximum security prison, but miraculously, the court granted Imurat amnesty and released him immediately. You speak the truth in love, and God backs you up.
We are not a, whatever that word is, 501c3. Almost every church in America, just so you know, is licensed or has a license, I don't know what they call it, but it's a 501c3. And when we had started other churches, we had, because I was told by leaders that we were supposed to have a 501c3 to be tax exempt and all this. Well, when I studied it, I don't remember if it was Wayne Weeks, somebody sent me this article, whatever, and I looked at the Constitution, and in our Constitution, until it's changed, it says, "Government shall make no laws governing churches." And in the 1950s, they came out with Lyndon Baines Johnson, who became a president in the 60s. He was a senator, if I remember correctly. And in the 50s, he came out with this thing called 501c3 and introduced it. And then churches ever since then have done that. Well, when we went to start this church, because we had always, this is our 10th church we've started from scratch, and we had all always like tried doing that, but didn't really know, whatever. Well, somebody sent me this, and I studied it out, and because my wife and I put in to be 501c3, and then it came back three times. And we're like, "Lord, what is this?" And he wasn't giving us peace. And we're like, "Lord," that's when somebody sent me that article. I studied out the 501c3 and prayed. And God said, "That's why I'm not letting it go through, because I don't want you to be licensed by the state, because the state can't be over Jesus." Do you know when this country was started? Do you remember the war, what the name of the war was when this country was started? Wait a minute. What? That was a good war. Well, that was a war. Not a good war, but that was a war. But that was the war of the Northern aggression. But anyway, being from the South, I love just saying that. But what do you say to the name of that? What was it? War of Independence or Revolutionary War. Do you know what their motto of the colonists in America, do you know what their motto was? "No king but Jesus. I pledge my allegiance to Jesus. To Jesus. I pledge my allegiance to the Lamb." Right? No king but Jesus. We always want to obey authority. Pay attention. This is on the test. Are you ready? You always obey authority unless in so doing you're disobeying God. Always obey authority unless in so doing you're disobeying God. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay? But we are not a 501c3. I didn't start this church because the government told me I could. When we went to start our first church down in Texas, I went down to the city hall. I tried to find out what their laws were, make sure everything was okay. We started a church in our house. We had a 20-foot sign, Faith Baptist Church. And I went to the chief of police because I said, is there any laws? And they said, no, but you ought to go talk to chief of police. Went and talked to him. He said, well, how about if I take you around, help you find property? He said, I have no problem you doing this. Okay, I go, fine. So we went and started the church. Well, when we started it, we were interrupting the town with Jesus, okay? So the bigwigs of the town told the chief police to come shut us down. And he told me, I am going to put you in jail if you don't shut this. And I said, I didn't start it because you said. I came and asked you to make sure I was doing everything within the laws. You tell me it's against the law. Here's your big law book. Show it to me, just because you tell me it's in there. So they photocopied something, gave it to me, and it said the exact opposite of what they said. It said that I could do exactly what I was doing, no problem. And I said to them, if you want to put me in jail, go ahead. I didn't start because you told me I could. I came here because God told me. I traveled 1,800 miles from Michigan to Texas down by Mexico. My wife and family and I, there was 7 of us to start a church from scratch. I didn't end up going to jail, by the way. They ended up having to stop what they were doing.
Thank you, Jesus.
But what I'm going to say is, what if I had gone to jail? That's what I'm saying. So what I'm saying to you is, I don't do this. If you're looking for comfortable, there's a lot of comfortable. Go find it. If you want to follow Jesus, that's what this is about. It's not about being licensed and doing everything to please people. It's about, I want to please Him. It's all about Jesus. Is anybody on the same page?
Yeah. I'm excited. I love Jesus.
Okay, I'm so glad. Just want you to know, it's coming. It's going to be against the laws in America to be a Christian. They don't have any problem letting you be a little religious as long as you don't follow Jesus. But if you're going to follow Jesus, it's going to bother people. Because it's light versus darkness, truth versus lies, heaven versus hell. Is anybody getting this? Life versus death. People that walk in darkness don't like the lights. When I grew up in Florida, I told you I turned the lights on in the middle of the night to get a glass of water out, and the roaches fled. When I turn the lights on, when I bring Jesus in the room, a lot of people with darkness, they don't like it because it exposes their darkness. It's all about bringing them to Jesus. All right, are you with us? You know what? If they do, I've led policemen to Jesus. I had a guy pull me over one time for speeding, and he walked up and I said, sir, he goes, can I see your license? I said, sir. He said, do you know what you were doing? I said, no, sir. I said, but you know what? I'm not a good example of Christ. I'm a good example of a sinner. But I'd like to tell you about my best friend. His name is Jesus. The police went, huh? And I proceeded to tell him about Jesus on the cross for him. And the guy was like, just slow down a little bit and go, you know. Because, see, you just got to admit the truth.
Amen.
You don't argue. You don't defend. Let's just get real and let's admit the truth. Right, Jacob? Right. All right. All right, so where are we now? Here's my wife.
We have 3 more pictures to share before Hannah. Who's first? Carson?
Carson.
Carson, come on.
Here, Carson.
This is all the countries celebrating God. This is America. This is Canada. This is South Africa. I mean, South America. That is Africa. And That is the heaven flag.
Christian flag. Awesome.
It's Christian flag.
Awesome. Thank you.
And that's all the countries. Bye!
Carson.
It's all right. Okay, thank you. I get to be the picture holder?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Stand to the side so they can see it.
This is God's castle, and this red stuff is the devil. And all these yellow things are the angels trying to protect Jesus.
Awesome. Isn't that cool?
Sahara?
Which one? This side? The other side? Okay, here. Look at here and point to this. What is it?
This is Jesus with all the children.
Oh, that is so cool.
Hannah, finally.
Okay, so I don't
have. You need me to hold it?
I don't have a picture, but I'm pretty sure everybody already knows by now. I'll just say it. I'm in a relationship now. So, yay! Thank you, Jesus. With David Richards. Raise your hand over there. He's back there with the green sweater on. So God had told me that we were going to be together May of last year, 2009. May 31st, 2009, I knew. And I've been waiting all this time, waiting. Get a clue. And he's recently asked my dad, and we're in a relationship now. But so May, you know, before that happened, I came back to the church May 10th, 2009, and I was like, I am sick of religion. I am serious about you, Jesus. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do whatever you say. That's just how it is. And that day, I was convicted to get baptized, and 10 days later, I get baptized. And after that, I'm like, oh, my goodness, I love you, Jesus. I just want to spend time with you and in prayer and all that good stuff, and God's just amazing. And then me and Patty, we had a Bible study in the morning, you know, and that really put my heart on fire for God, you know, because we were spending 2 hours every morning together in the Word and in prayer, and that was just really helpful. And thank you, Jesus. And then one specific confirmation that I had that David was the one for me was a specific Sunday. We broke up into prayer circles of three. And David was in a prayer circle with Glenn and Lloyd. And I was in a prayer circle with Roxanne and Joyce. Joyce isn't here anymore, but Roxanne's here. And I heard Glenn, where's Glenn? I heard Glenn praying over Dave that God already has her picked out. God already has your mate picked out. You just got to wait on his timing. And I was like, okay, Jesus, I get the picture. I need to focus on our prayer circle. So I focus on our prayer circle. And then Roxanne and Joyce, they say, you know, God already has the one picked out for you. You just need to wait on God's timing. I'm like, okay, God, I get the picture. Okay, that's good. And it wasn't until November that my dad invited David over for dinner, like lunch, dinner, whatever you want to call it, afternoon meal. Let's just say that. So it wasn't until November. Like, we knew all this time, like 6 months. We've known for 6 months, and then we invited him over for dinner. It wasn't right away. One specific other thing that God had to work out of me was... okay, does anybody, any of the married couples of the church remember the couples dance in February? Anybody remember that? Okay. Well, I'll give you guys a glimpse into where my heart was at that day. You know, I knew he was the one, and, you know, God had already confirmed it many times, and so I knew that my sister was going to be dancing with him, and I was like, God, what's up with that? Like, I know he's my future husband. I'm older than my sister. I know him better. I should be dancing with him. And God said to me, he said, if you cannot share him with your sister when we're just friends, I am never going to be able to share him with God. And I was like, ouch, okay, you're right, Jesus, like complete heart change. And I was like, thank you, Jesus, I needed that, I really did. And he just really changed my heart that day. And ever since then, he's been changing my heart and just changing my heart so that I'm not obsessed and that I'm focused on God and, you know, focus on the promise keeper, not the promise.
Amen.
So, you know, and one of the other things that God told me is I had been praying for a man after God's own heart. And he shared with me, if you're obsessed about this, if you're obsessed with, oh, I should be dancing with him, I'm not letting him be a man after God's own heart. Like, I have to let him be a man after God's own heart, and I can't do that if I'm obsessed with him.
If he has to be obsessed with you.
Yeah, exactly. And then on May of this year, yeah, we're moving to this year now, you know, in between last year and this year, you know, I met his dad and his mom and his family, and it was really cool. And May of this year, at the Rossman House of Prayer, you know, a bunch of youth get together, we pray, and it's good stuff. And it was prophesied over Dave that this is a very important summer for him and that God would give him clarity in certain areas of his life. And I'm thinking, Jesus, does that mean what I think it means? Does that mean, like, we're going to get to be together, whatever? So that was just really cool, you know, hearing that confirmation from other people outside of the church, you know, different confirmations. And then Friday night, this was just recently, September, we had a courtroom session, and we all forgave people, and I forgave 4 different guys that had hurt me because earlier in life I was obsessed because if a guy looked at me the wrong way, I was like, oh, he's going to ask me out. And then when he didn't, I got really disappointed because I thought he was going to ask me out. Like, he looked at me that way. Oh, he's got to like me. He's going to... No. Like, God really, really worked that on my heart. And then I forgave those guys. And then Sprout was there. I don't know if he's not here today.
No.
Oh, well. Sprout said that that day, God has the right man, just wait on his timing. I'm like, okay, I've heard this so many times, God, when is it coming? So, and then about a week later, I went over to his birthday party, and his mom was there, and his brother's family was there, and that was just really awesome to spend time with them, like, build a relationship. And, you know, then he asked my dad. He asked my dad if he could pursue me for the purpose of marriage. So that is my testimony. God is amazing. And there's a song that, Bill, if you could play that song.
I sought the Lord and he heard me. I sought the Lord, and he heard my cry. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. I sought the Lord, and he heard my cry. And he answered.
See, the Bible doesn't teach dating. Doesn't teach window shopping. We're not experimenting. Either God's real or He's not. And since God is real, He has the person for you. And I am just so glad to have young people around us that are hearing that. Dave works with me, and Dave had come to me, I don't even remember how long ago. Matter of fact, he might have come to my wife and I. I just know that he and I have talked about it a lot. And, nope, not right now. If you want to do that, you have to go talk to my wife. Look, you can go talk to my wife. Anyway, here's what I'm just saying is that, do you hear the heart? Did you hear the heart? What it is it's about putting Jesus first. Because if Jesus isn't first in your marriage and you're looking to get your needs met out of the other person and you put expectation in the other person, I promise they will let you down. I am the worst part of my marriage. Jesus is the best part. He's my best friend. My wife is the second best part of our marriage, and I'm the worst part. And I am so glad that I have a wife like I do. But when I got saved, God had to get my attention because I'd already done the dating thing and all that. And I said, and I was afraid to get married because of what I'd seen with my own parents and other people. And I said, immediately He put it in my heart. I was 20 years of age. You have to get married. And I said, and I was coming out of being a drug dealer, and I said, Lord, if you want me to get married, you're going to have to do that. Because I have no idea how to pick one or who you have. I said, but I know you have somebody for me, so you make it clear. And 7 months and 2 days later, or 7 months and 20 days later, whatever, I met Sue. And I was in one state, and He had to take me through a number of states to get me to where she was. And as soon as I met her, God said, Harvey, this is who you're supposed to marry. It took her a little while to hear that. You know, it's quite an adjustment for her. But my point is that God has somebody for you. And you need to wait on God. And don't window shop. Don't set yourself up for a divorce. Oh, that didn't work. I'll go get another. That's what dating's all about. Oh, that didn't work. I'll go get another. You're getting married to somebody is your gift to them. Don't give them soiled goods. You understand?
Yeah.
Very important. This is about giving your heart to Jesus. And I am honored. I'm just telling you. I am honored that you two would make that choice to wait on God, to put God first. Both of you have let us know for so long you wanted to wait and whatever that meant because you wanted to put God first. And I'm just honored that you are part of our life. Okay? I love you. You have something to say?
No. I was just one.
Hey, this is church. We don't print it on a bulletin because we don't know how God's going to do it. We don't give a flip about a bulletin, okay? Preachers ask me, man, I want church like you have. I said, first thing you got to do is get rid of your bulletin. And they're afraid to do that because they want everything to be comfortable. I'd rather let it all be God. Let Him flow.
Sweet. Well, first, I want to say thank you to Patty and Tom, most of all. For putting up with me, patience, and all you people that already knew for so long. Praise God. All the people that were interceding for me, which was really needed. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Go to Isaiah 40:29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. All the stuff Harvey said, and like, oh, this is so good. No, it's pretty much like Hannah. Like, seriously, it's all her, straight up. Not even like, yeah. I was sitting there talking to her, and I'm like, so when did God tell you? And she's like, oh, about a year and a half ago. And I was like, what the heck? Like, I would have went nuts, seriously. I couldn't take it. So I think that's why God told her before and told me later, because I would have went nuts. But, no, I just wanted to just say that, you know, if you guys know her, she is amazing. Know her at all. I don't deserve anything near the woman of God she is. That's why I say thank you to Tom and Patty for putting up with me and continually putting up with me and the rest of you guys. And yeah, I just say thank you for the church family that we have. And then also another thing is the people that already knew and acted like they didn't, but they really acted like they did the whole time. You guys were horrible, seriously. Like, Hannah and her sister Kate, we'd be hanging out and talking, and I'd be talking on the phone or something. They'd be like, yeah, so what's God showing you? And God already spoke to me, and I was just, he was confirming more things. And I remember a couple of times I'm like, yeah, he showed me things about the future. And I was like, super vague. And I was just like, yeah, God showed me about people and ministry and relationships and all this. And they're like, oh, so what's God showing you about relationships? And I'm like, and I'll be on the phone and I'm like, all right, you know, just nothing, you know, specific right now. Just kind of waiting on the Lord. And like, oh, okay, cool. You know, and like every week they'd be like, so what's God showing you? And I'd just share a little bit, and they'd, yeah, it was hilarious. But no, just you guys are all great. And I had this big scheme to ask her out and talk to everybody, but God told me I couldn't, so I didn't do that. But I can't say enough good things about Hannah, because if you know her, you know she is amazing. So everybody got a pen, pencil? All right. You guys ready? Okay. If you want to find out more about Hannah, you can go to Proverbs 31. It talks about her there. So check it out. It's good.
Call Nate. Here, Nate. Here, Nate. Oh. Rax. Roxanne. What?
Well, I just want to say, maybe I should tell you a little bit about it. See, my mom called. Some of you know that I've had a real problem with my mom. But she called me Sunday night when I was here at the meeting, the ladies' meeting, and I called her back the next day, and she said, well, Glenn told me that you weren't doing real good, and I was just calling to see how you were. And I said, well, I'm doing okay. I'm doing better. And she said, well, I wish I was there. We could go to some garage sales or something. And I'm like, oh, my mom's saying this? She actually wanted to do something with me. So I kind of let her go on and talk a little bit. And Glenn went downstairs. He knew I was on the phone with her, and he went downstairs and he's like, God, please let this be a breakthrough with her and her mom. And so I finished talking with mom, and she said, I love you lots. And I'm like, that was big.
So I was just thanking Jesus, and I was bawling, and I was happy, and just kind of taking it all in when Glenn came upstairs, and he saw me just bawling my eyes out. Of course, I was happy. He wanted to make sure it was safe before he came up, but he said, he's looking at me, and I said, I just had a breakthrough with my mom. And he's like, hallelujah! We were both jumping around in our living room. And it was just, it was all God, because Pastor Sue had told me to, I had too many expectations of my mom. I expected too much of her. I expected her to be a mom, and she couldn't be that with me. And so I gave that to God, and he healed my heart, and I didn't even know it, because I still felt like, I don't want to call her, you know. I just don't have anything to say to her. And when she said all this, it's like, God, you did it. You healed my heart to receive what she said. And you must be working in her, or she never would have said it. So I just give all the praise to God, because he's helped heal that part of my life.
Isn't that cool? Amen. Okay, all the kids. She's first. Yep. But you can come up here too. Come on. You first.
Gary and I have been going through a real trial with our finances. He's been working minimum wage, and about 6 weeks ago, we got a notice to be evicted, and we knew that in a month, we would have to pay those charges and court charges, plus a whole nother $400, and the other charges was $700, and I'm like, keep praying, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And I just kept saying, God, give me the ability to trust. I'm very weak. I'm professional worrywart. And we listened to this preaching tape, and she just kept saying, everything is going to be all right. Take your what if, say it, and go, everything's going to be all right. So it just transformed me from being a warrior into a truster. And so I still didn't see how this stuff was going to get paid. And it just seemed like no matter where we turned, it was just hard. And we got counsel with Pastor Harvey and Pastor Sue. And what they wrote down seemed like Mount Everest. And we were just so overwhelmed. And I just kept saying, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And as of yesterday, that $700 is paid in full.
Amen.
That next month's rent, plus the trailer payment, plus $800 worth of bills paid in full.
Amen.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider.
Amen. You can't find, yeah, you would. You can't find out how big God is until you need him. If you know, like when we used to travel around and I would tell people about how God did these miracles, I mean, of providing for us when we had no money, and God, we'd hear a doorbell. We'd be praying one night, laying in bed, praying and telling God what we needed, and hear the doorbell when we were starting our first church and get up and walk to the door, and everything we had just told God that we needed was hanging on the door. Every single thing we had just told Him, and nobody was there. And when I would tell these stories around the country as we preached around America, people would say, you talk about Red Sea miracles like they happen all the time. The only one I've ever seen is in the Bible. I said, do you get a paycheck every week? And they said, yeah. I said, then you don't need one. God's not in the show business. I said, but when you are following God and you have a need, see, God doesn't help those who help themselves. That's completely opposite of what the Bible teaches. God helps those who can't help themselves. So you do what you can and you follow God, but you follow God. You don't make excuses. You follow God. And it works, and you trust in God. How does it go about the big God? Yeah, but there's another one about a thing that we sang with the king. My God is so big, that's it. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are His, the valleys are His, the stars are His handiwork too. If you want to sing, you better get up here so I don't. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. How big is your God? Y'all just have to get over it. I love it. It's teaching you forgiveness. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I just felt like God wanted me to share this. Some of you know this testimony. So it's not something that's, you know, just recent. But before Wayne and I were married, we met each other in college, and we were just friends, and he had a girlfriend and I had a boyfriend, and I was a sophomore in college, and I felt like God wanted me to go to Ecuador for a year. There was a program where you could go to Ecuador for a year and study and get and help start a church. So I felt like God wanted me to do that, but this boyfriend didn't want me to do that. So I said, "Okay, I won't go." You know, and then I kept praying about it, and I thought, "No, God wants me to go there. I better go." And there were miracles getting me there. I can think of three pretty big ones that I could tell you about some other time. Kind of like the, you know, the stuff hanging on the door. Miracle where you can't provide for yourself, but I made it over there, and then he broke up with me, and we were going to get married, and we were, you know, this was, I had just given my heart totally away to this guy, and he loved the Lord, and he wanted to, he was kind of a missionary in New York City. He was also an illegal alien. My parents did not want me to be involved with this person.
Go ahead.
There was a small clue there. My parents were not in favor of this. And so I went over to Ecuador, and I gave this guy up because I said, God, I want what you want, and that's why I'm here. And now this guy is just out of my life, and I don't want to go through this. Again, I feel like I'm going to die. I'm not going to die, but I feel like it. But I do not want this heartache anymore. Ever, ever, ever. You choose for me. Because obviously I don't do the greatest job here. Well, I sent out prayer letters every month. That's what you did back then if you were a missionary and there was no internet. And so if you wanted to get a reply from a letter, you wrote a letter, and then if that person wrote back immediately, then you would get a response 3 weeks later. That is a long time. Anyway, but Wayne was on my prayer list, and he wrote me back, and he sent a picture. And I was just so starved for everything. It was very difficult in Ecuador for me. I was the only single missionary there, and the and the missionaries were legalistic, and they put lots of rules on me, and I was in rebellion and pride, and didn't know anything about, you know, submission and humility and forgiveness. I had been told, you know, as long if that person isn't sorry, you don't have to forgive them. I'd been told that by a counselor. Isn't that gross? That is really gross. That'll leave you in bondage for your whole life. The primary message of the cross is forgiveness. Hallelujah. We can be free from what other people have done to us.
Amen.
We don't have to be enslaved to that.
Amen.
So anyway, I'm sorry. This is going a little longer.
You're doing fine. Just keep going.
My stuff. Okay, so where was I? Yeah, he wrote me a letter. He sent me a picture. So, wow, thank you for sending me a picture. And I started writing him, and he started writing me back, and we started writing more and more and more and more. And I started to figure out, this guy's interested in me, but he is not my type. The dude doesn't talk. I like to talk, so.
Somebody's got to listen. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, he can write really well and put his thoughts down on paper and express himself that way. But I knew him already, and he was just so quiet. I thought, oh, boy, I'll run right over him. So anyway, I thought, well, but he's a really nice guy, and we're just sharing. We were laying a foundation of God. We just talked about God. That's all we did. And we laid this awesome foundation of how important God was to us, and we prayed for each other, you see, God was doing things in my life of where if we had started some relationship back and we had been together in the same country, it would have never happened. I mean, we could have really messed it up and it would have never happened ever because I was not mature enough. He was not mature enough. We were not ready. We weren't ready spiritually. We weren't ready emotionally. We just weren't. So God knew. And so by the time January came, and I knew things with this other guy were completely done for sure because he believed in speaking in tongues, and I did not. In fact, you know, if you raised your hands like this, you were asking a demon to come in you, so you better be. Yep, that's the way. And if you associated with someone, if you didn't believe in speaking in tongues, but if you associated with someone who spoke in tongues, then you were still a heretic. It's called secondary separation, and it is founded in pride and religion, and I was completely blind, and I was crying out to God, God, if this is not right, please show me, because I want to follow you. I don't want to, you know, not associate with your people if it's not right, but this is what the missionaries believed there, and I was submitting to their authority, and I was under them, and they were blind, and so that affected me. And when Wayne and I actually did decide, yeah, we're going to be in a relationship, the primary thing we had to work out is whether or not he would work at a specific ministry downtown who had Catholics on their board, because I was not going to marry someone who would, you know, we wouldn't be able to be in ministry together. But he decided, no, I probably wouldn't do that. So I said, okay, he might qualify. So he wrote me and he said, would you like to pursue a deeper relationship? I said, what do you mean by that? What is your definition of a deeper relationship? So he wrote back to me, and I could show you this sometime if you're at my house, the Ten Commandments of a deeper relationship. Thou shalt keep the Lord thy God first above the other person. Thou shalt not be emotionally dependent upon each other. Thou shalt not be spiritually dependent upon each other. Thou shalt not be physically dependent upon each other. Those are the four I remember. There's six other ones. It was good. I'm like, okay, dude, this is really good. This is like, this might work, you know. He's laying some boundaries, and we're, you know, thousands of miles apart. Well, see, that was in January. I got back in June, and then 3 weeks later, he left for Ecuador for a year. So he showed that some relationship was not going to be more important than what God wanted him to do.
Amen.
So we wrote for 2 years. Then he got back, and we had to learn to like each other. I mean, we kind of liked each other, you know. We had this foundation, this deep thoughts of sharing and all this, but it was hard to just hang out, you know. I talked all the time, and he didn't, ever. So, we had to learn to be around each other. We broke up a couple times. But you know what? The first time that we had a date or we got together, see, we didn't have our parents here. We didn't know anything about courting. We just were trying to follow God and the limited understanding that we had. And he set boundaries right away, physically. We are not going to do this or go this or do this. And he respected that. We did not get married till 3 years later. That's 5 long years of waiting. But, you know, God was faithful. He gave the grace we needed because that's the preparation time we needed. Because, see, Wayne wasn't ready to support a family. What is marriage? When you get married, you have children. There is a physical proclamation and declaration of your love, and that's your children. And if you limit that, I believe, and I believe God's shown us, that you're limiting God. Yes, he has. And if I would let him, there might even be more than that. But, you know, God, Wayne was not ready for that. He was not ready to support a family. God hadn't shown him, brought him into that. I had to pray for 3 years. God, 9 months after we're married, please help him to be able to pay all of our bills. Because I don't want to have my children not have me with them, because I know that's what God wants for me. So he tried this job, he tried that job, it didn't work, and we waited and we waited some more. And then he got an apprenticeship at a plumbing, heating, and cooling place. Now he's ready to start his own business, and he can support a family. And he is faithful with that. He doesn't spend his money on other stuff. He provides for his family. He's a good man, but he needed some time. And so this is a relational example of waiting on God. But this really just applies to everybody in every situation. You know, God tells us to wait for him. Wait for his timing. Wait for his leading. And he will be faithful and do what he wants to do when we walk with him and are obedient.
Amen. Nate. Yes. Well, if you want to say something, come up here.
This is the sermon today, so don't worry about it.
Well, that's interesting like this. But it was funny how you said something about, you know, other churches with bulletins and stuff. Last week, I don't remember what brought it to my mind, but you know, how every Sunday you pray to invite the Lord here and do what he wants to do. You know, a lot of the churches, or excuse me, not churches, buildings. Like I said, I've said before, the church is not the building, it's the people. But a lot of other buildings, you go in, they give you a little pamphlet. And it says, from 9:15 we sing this song. 9:15 to 9:25 we do this. Everything's all laid out, you know. Even the Baptists, they don't have bulletins, but they got everything all scheduled, programmed out. Which is good, but where does God, how do you squeeze God into it?
Uh-oh.
How do you squeeze God into, let's see, 9:15, no, that ain't going to work. God comes in, like I said, you know, you invite God, which is good. I think that's real good. And the word popped in my head, I'm still trying to remember, it's called spontaneous. We're spontaneous around here. We're not programmed. We're not robots. At least I'm not. But I'm going to say something about inviting God too. Trixie's, like I said, I'm going to bring Trixie in for a minute. She's having a birthday party. But
that's his dog.
That's my dog.
that he loves.
But, go ahead. But, I was inviting people, and then I thought, thinking, man, I forgot somebody. I forgot to invite the Lord. So I invited the Lord to come and have His presence there, because I don't want Satan's presence there, because I don't want to have a bunch of dogfights.
You were just trying to get more presents, right?
That would be nice. But, like I said, we got to invite God. We got to invite the Lord. If we don't invite Him, and the wrong being shows up, and then we're not very satisfied. But I called Thomas last night. Friday night or whatever. Talking about miracles. I got one from the Lord Friday evening. You know, I've been driving around for the last 3 years in my truck without a radio working. Plus the horn quit too. So I had to take it in to find out what's wrong. Radio's dead. They said I got to have it replaced, and the horn, they said, you know, things do wear out. But like I said, I've been driving around town for almost 3 years without a horn or a radio. And in the city, you need a horn. Boy, do you need a horn. But Friday, Trixie and I was out doing something. We got back in the truck. Started the truck up, and something was different. Something was different. Radio was working. It's dead again, but the Lord allowed it to work for about 2 hours Friday night.
Wow.
So, I mean, I don't know why He only allowed it to work Friday night, but like I said, I do need a new radio. But miracles. It's something that we don't expect. And like I said, the Lord allowed it to work a few hours after 3 years of not working. I mean, it just shows that He can bring back to life anything.
That's right.
Anything at all. He can bring. He can revive it.
Amen. Are we done? Good.
Something you'd like to do, or? Oh, okay. I didn't know if there was something you were planning over there, so. Some big conspiracy or something. Yeah. Amen.
Oh, we stand up.
There you go. I'm feeling a little relaxed today, so, you know, I mean, just, Yeah. I'm a little sore, too, so. I've been beat up a lot. Lord, we just come to You. You're already here. But we just want to recognize, Lord, and just pause for a moment and just say how good You are, Lord. How good You are. Just be who You are this morning here, Lord. We'll be who we are, whatever that is. And You just work it out for us, Lord. We just give it to You. Amen.
Yeah. Sings my soul, my Savior.
How'd you like that, Lord? How did you like that, Lord? We just thank you for your presence, Lord. And sing my soul. Whoever plays the violin, if they just play that at this time.
started playing, I asked God, I said, I want to see what you're doing. And I saw the Father on the floor in front of the throne, and he was just weeping in joy. It was happy. He was just weeping, and it was like just falling from heaven onto us, and he was like saying, thank you for worshiping my son. And he was just sobbing. He was so happy that we were worshiping his son. And Jesus was going through the room and getting in everyone's face and going, thank you for worshiping my dad. He's so awesome. And hugging everybody. And then he came and sat cross like Indian style in front of Nate. And just like, you know, like kids do, you know, and they stare up at you like they're so excited for what you're doing. And he was like, Daddy, I was thinking about my dad, you know. And the Holy Spirit was like wind just going through the room around everything and around the violin. And then as Tom started playing faster, like, Jesus and the Holy Spirit were like dancing, and it was just like awesome. They were just like so glad we were worshiping them, but you know, it was like they're always thinking of the other one, you know. So the Father's just weeping, but his tears were falling on us, like his joy tears. I saw him like just like coming down a slide, just on and falling out on everyone here, and it's just awesome. God's awesome.
So, I just want to make a pretty strong statement here this morning. On the way here, the Lord shared with me that He wants to break. He wants to break. So, I just know in my spirit that the invitation to break is here. The breaker is here. And Lord, we just... invite you, Lord. Yes. So.
I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my shame. And I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. But not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Yet I'm blessed beyond the curse, for His promise will endure. His joy gonna be my strength. No sorrow may last for a night, joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, oppressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not sure, yet I'm blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure. You're gonna be my strength. No sorrow may last for a night, joy comes in. Simply come, long just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. When the music fades and all is stripped away, then I simply come. Long just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song. The song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. The way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made them when they're all about you. We're all about you, Jesus. King of endless words, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking in my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made them when they're all about you. Yeah, they're all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made. They're all about you, Jesus. And they're all about you, Jesus. Jesus. Yeah, they're all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Yeah, they're all about you. It's all about you. Song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made, when they're all about you, they're all about you, Jesus. Song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made, and they're all about you. was blind, but now I see. Calling my name. can see you, Lord. I can see you high and lift it up.
Form of worship to the Lord. Thank you.
you, Jesus.